Father, as always, I thank you. There's so much power in thy word. Power to save. Power to deliver. Power to set us free. And the entrance of thy word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, O Lord, to shine in our hearts today as it is written. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Glory to God. We thank you. We honor you, Lord, this morning. Whoso offereth praise, Bible says, glorifieth me. And he that uttereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, because your salvation is at hand for all your people that are in distress or under the oppression of Pharaoh or the Assyrian. And we're coming out of there. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, lesson 3 in the Exodus series. Let my people go that they may serve me. I'm going to pick up the story. If you missed part 1 or part 2, please go and listen to the replays right here on this platform under the house, Walking with God. Check out the replays so you can get caught up with these lessons. But today we are in Exodus chapter 5. And yesterday we dealt with how that Pharaoh responded when Moses and Aaron went up to him and said, let the people of the Lord go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Number one, that I should let him go. And number two, who are you guys? And you are idol. You are idol. That's why you're thinking that I'm going to go serve the Lord. And he turned to the taskmasters and said, let there be more work. And let there be more burdens laden upon these people. And in the past, whereas you used to give them straw to make bricks, don't give them anything anymore. No provender, nothing. Let them go figure it out themselves. But yet, the tale of bricks that each one of them was tasked for bringing daily must not diminish. And so he strengthened the hands of the taskmasters against the people of God. So that's where we're going to pick up the story today. So we start with Exodus chapter 5 and verse 10. So the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get ye straw for yourselves, wherever you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the I know only the storehouses of Pharaoh were the straw, you know, but they locked them up. They're not gonna give them anything anymore. So you go gather whatever you can find. And so the taskmasters hasted them and said, fulfill your works, your daily tasks. Even as when we gave you straw, whether we give you anything or not now, nothing must be diminished. And so they strengthened their hands against the people. And the officer of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, they were beaten. And they demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? I mean, the last 2 days, you guys are slacked off. People say, well, yeah, you know, because, you know, we didn't give us straw anymore. How in the world are we going to do these things? So the children of Israel, the officers, they went and cried to Pharaoh and said, why hast thou dealt with us? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And yet they say unto us, make bricks. You know, but they give us no straws. Why in the world are we supposed to do these things? So they cried unto Pharaoh, you know, and said, you know, change our situation. They're beating us and they're doing these things and so on. You know, there's no straw. They're giving us, they're beating us, but the fault is in thy own people. If they would have given us the straw, we would be able to complete the tale of bricks. Pharaoh said unto them, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Now, get away, he said, and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the same tale of bricks. The officers of children saw that they were evil. They were in an evil case. Their situation got worse. After it was said to them, you shall not diminish anything from your bricks of your daily tasks. So they met Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron. The Lord look upon you and judge you, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. You know. So, ladies and gentlemen, that situation got horribly worse. And God said, I'm going to set you free. But situation got even worse. And isn't that the same, even true today? Sometimes things get worse, even much worse, before they get better. And when the Lord says something, announces some good thing, then all of a sudden, evil things come, you know, to put a damper, put an evil savor in the thing. You know, so they cried unto Moses, and then Moses went and cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated these people? Why is it that you sent me here to deliver them? Because look at the situation now. Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, you have done all this evil and made the situation even worse. Yet you have not even delivered thy people at all. What's going on here? But the Lord had a plan. Now let me pause there and let us consider this situation. God sent Moses there with a word of hope. I will bring you out of being bondsmen, and I will get you out of there. And I will take you into the promised land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. But yet, instead of any glimmer of hope of coming out of their situation, actually rather grew worse. And Pharaoh strengthened the task of, hand of his taskmasters against them, saying, make their situation worse, because it is because they are idle. That's why they are thinking of serving the Lord. We covered this yesterday, and in previous days we have covered it. The tactic that the devil uses is to let there be more burden and more work laden upon you, so you will not have time to consider vain words. That's the way the devil puts it, such as, let us have time to serve the Lord. And in our situations today, that's the same thing. The more problems we have, the more bills we have to pay, the less time we're going to have, you know, serving the Lord. You know, we have to work more hours. We have to work more, you know, more jobs. We have to strive more, you know. And sometimes, you know, when there's a prayer meeting, and there's a fellowship hour, or there's a service here and there that you could go to, you can't, because you got to work and you got to take on your shift and this and this. You know, because that's the devil's tactics. Do it. Make it harder for them, so they won't be able to have time in their minds. This has been from the, you know, long time, from the beginning. It's nothing new, you know. But the Lord had a plan. We got to be patient through the process. You know, we got to hold on to the word of hope. Bible called some people prisoners of hope. Well, you know, we got to hold on, you know, hold on now to the word of the Lord. The Lord had a plan. I mean, at this time, Moses is bewildered, because first of all, the Lord had already told him. He knew that. you know, but he didn't know that the situation would get worse. You know, he already knew because the Lord told him, look, Pharaoh is not going to let you go. He told him that ahead of time, the first time he sent him. And so Moses is probably thinking, well, Pharaoh will just say, get away, get you to your tasks. Not knowing that it will make the situation even worse. So now Moses has lost face and lost favor with the people, but they're looking upon him now as the one that made their life even worse. And so he in turn cried to the Lord. But here's what the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 6. Let's continue the story. The Lord said unto Moses, now you will see what I will do unto this Pharaoh. God is setting up Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Now, unfortunately, the participants in this great contest of the Lord, you know, versus Pharaoh, unfortunately, you know, I mean, when, you know, some people have, we have these proverbs that, you know, when elephants fight or all these terrible animals, you know, fight against each other and so forth, the ground gets hot. So, you know, now the people that are going to suffer the brunt of this, unfortunately, actually the children of Israel, whom God is trying to protect and deliver, they are the ones that are going to suffer it, unfortunately. But the Lord has a plan. And he said, look, you're going to see now how I'm going to deal with this Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he shall let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. You know, at first, it would be like he was not going to let them go. But at the end, he's going to drive them out of the land because of what I would do unto him. You know, so, well, Moses was encouraged that the Lord had a plan. And God spake again to Moses and said, look, I am the Lord. Now, anytime the Lord puts, that's like his signature. When he was talking to the children of Israel, that's always like, you know, his calling card. You know, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham. Now, he's going to tell him again, because every time the Lord wants to relate to these people, he reminds them of the call that he had upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the relationship he had with them, and sometimes talks about even the covenant that he made with them so that they can remember, because he never forgot. You know, he said, look, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Huh? But now he's going to tell him something. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. Now he's going to reveal a new name now. He's ready now, man of war, ready to go to battle. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, even where at that time they were strangers in that land. I would give it to them. Now also I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and they will not let them go. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And go back and talk to them. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of your bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out hand and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of the under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land. Remember, that's the plan. Not go and perish in the wilderness. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swore to Abraham to give it to him and even to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage, for I am the Lord. Now, what a marvelous presentation from the Lord. And so Moses, he went to the children of Israel and spoke to them all these words. But at this time, they've heard enough. They are not going to put up with any more, you know, tales, so to speak, from Moses. Look, we were much better off. Even though our situation was not good, we were yet much better off before you came back and started telling more these things. And now look at us. We got to wander throughout the whole land. In the past, they gave us straw. They gave us provender and so on. And we were able to do these things. Now we can't find anything. We got to go throughout the land and dig up and find on ourselves. And how are we going to make the tail of bricks? Everybody hated Moses. They wanted no part of him. They did not even listen to him and so forth because they were, distressed in their spirit. The Bible says here, they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for the cruel bondage that they had, which got even worse. You know, because, I mean, Pharaoh was like, I'm going to show you. You're coming in here and telling me you want to go serve the Lord. I'm going to show you who's the Lord here. You will serve me even in harder bondage. I'll put more affliction upon you. You know, that's what, you know, this Pharaoh was thinking. So, you know, and Moses is like, Lord, I don't know. I mean, Pharaoh will not listen to me. The children of Israel will not listen to me. I mean, what am I going to do? And the Lord said to Moses, go in and speak. Hallelujah. So step by step, you're going to see something very interesting in these stories. You know, throughout this saga between Moses now and Pharaoh, the Lord is going to be giving Moses step-by-step instruction. I want you to go in, the Lord said unto him, you know, go in and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he should let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord and said, look, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. And by this time, Moses himself is getting discouraged. In a situation, I mean, getting discouraged. And I wonder sometimes, why did the Lord, of course, we know that the Lord said he was going to get his name renowned. But, I mean, Moses is put in this situation. It's an impossible situation that Moses will find himself in. Pharaoh would not let the people go. Their situation got worse. They, you know, made worse. The people themselves, they hate Moses. They will have no part of him. They're grumbling against him and telling him that you are the one that brought this evil upon us. You know, and he's in the middle of all of this. And Lord's telling him, go back and tell Pharaoh the same thing you already told him before. He said, look, I've already told him. And he said no. And he made their situation worse. If I go and tell him now, what else is he going to do? Will he start to kill them? So this man is bewildered in his mind. You know. And he said, look, they do not listen to me. Neither will Pharaoh listen to me. He didn't listen to me the first time. And the Lord said unto him, look, you know, concerning what I have told you, you will do it. And you will bring these children out of the land of Egypt. So the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. You have two responsibilities. You will speak to Pharaoh the words that I speak to you. You will also speak to the children of Israel the words I speak to you to tell them. You know, so Moses now must not only convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, which Pharaoh is not going to do. He also must convince the children of Israel that the Lord knows what he's doing and he's going to bring them out. Now, the latter one is actually harder. Because they have seen how their situation got worse. So nobody is going to even believe that it's going to get any better. Now, this is where we may find ourselves at times. And we see that even throughout the Bible, many of the promises of God that God has given us, it always seems like, you know, sometimes they just don't work at first. Now, notice I said at first. When the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and I will not put any of this sickness upon you. But then all of a sudden you get sick. And you get so sick that it looks like you will not even get well. And you get even a writing of evil from your doctors, a pronunciation of all kinds of things. And yet the Lord said he wanted you to be in health. But you are not in health. You know, the Lord said, look, you know, I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. But your needs are not supplied. You don't have enough. You can't pay your bills. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on, contrary to the promises of God. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the reason why we have those promises. It is for that very reason. See, there's no reason for God to promise or speak anything out, you know, if your situation was already good. If you're already good, if you're already in health, if you're already prospering, if you're already, you know, everything is already good, there will be no reason for the Lord to tell you, look, I will make it good. The reason he gives us those promises is exactly because we're in those situations. Don't think of it the other way around. You know, that's why God gave you the promises, so you can hold on to that promise for that situation. And the Lord, he knows our situations. He knows our plight. He knows what we're going through. So he gave us those promises. But you say, well, let him deliver me already. I mean, enough of the long promise. Scripture says, long hope wearies the heart. You know, when someone is just, you know, waiting and waiting, you know, Lord said, I will do this. And then the thing is not happening. And then the devil will come and say, where is your God now? Didn't you say that the Lord, my God, will come and save me? Well, he's not coming to save you. You better, you know, take matter into your hands. You better do this. You know, you better do that. So, the devil will come and try to put all kinds of things into our minds when we're going through situations. You know, when the hope that God promised us doesn't come on time, what does the scripture say about that? Makes your heart to be weary. Actually, makes your heart to be sick, he said. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13, and verse 12, we see that the Lord gives us this insight. Hope that is deferred maketh the heart to be sick. When the Lord gave hope, and then all of a sudden this thing doesn't come to pass, the heart will be sick. The heart will be faint. The heart will be distressed. There are all kinds of things will set in. And people will lose their cheerfulness, you know. And sometimes people are upbeat about things, generally speaking, until things get worse and worse and worse. But when the desire cometh, it'll be like a tree of life. Now, my role in this series is to stand here, proclaim the word of God, and pray over the people until the desire cometh. That's right. You know, I know what the Lord said, and we have the benefit of reading this hindsight now into the stories of this Exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Those people didn't know. When they were going through this stuff, in the situation that they are in now, where we are in this story, this chapter right now, there is no way, or there was no way in their heart that they knew that the end result, they will actually come out. All they saw was worse and worse and worse. You know, but now we have the benefit of hindsight to look back and see that they actually did come out. So when you are going through situation that you may be in now, you may be like the children of Israel, and it looks like there's no way in the world that you're getting out of there. But you see, the Lord is on the other side of that. He has seen the end from the beginning. Now, because God has perfect foreknowledge of all things, He can tell you that you're coming out. But because you can't see further than the situation that you're in right now, you can't even see tomorrow, you know, unless God shows you. You can't see it, you know, and you can look and it's like a brick wall. It's like you're looking into the dark because you can't see, you know, because God hides tomorrow from us so that we may trust in him. And, you know, your heart may, you know, be discouraged because you don't know for a certainty unless you have learned to develop, you know, that mental capacity, that spiritual capacity. If you have developed it to trust that, look, even though I don't know the future or the outcome, I am going to use my faith to believe in what the Lord has said. Hallelujah. God has foreknowledge. I don't, but I have faith. You know, now, the difference between me and God is because he knows everything. He can say what is going to happen because he's already seen it. Everything's already played out before him. And he has perfect knowledge. He doesn't forget anything. You know, so he can tell you exactly how it's going to be. Now, I don't know that, but he does. You know, and I've said to people, I said, look, if you had perfect knowledge, which is like, you know, what people call a photographic memory. If you had this photographic memory that when you see something one time, you never forget, or you read something, you never forget. I mean, people who have this real photographic memory, they can read a book of 300 pages and they will never forget anything. They'll tell you what's on every page. I mean, it's like just capture everything and they can replay it perfectly. Perfect recall, you know, well, there's not too many people that have it, but here and there, occasionally, some people have that. But God has it. And because God has it, he can tell you exactly what's happening. Now, assuming you have perfect memory, you know, and you've watched, you know, your favorite movie, you know, many times. Well, if you had perfect memory, you will only actually need to watch it one time because you'll never forget everything because you remember everything just the way it was said. But even those who don't have perfect memory, if they watch that movie enough times, they're going to be able to know what's happening next, what the next person is going to say. Because you've watched it so many times. You've seen it play up, you know, in front of you so many times. So you can actually, you know, when somebody is saying a sentence, you can complete the sentence. You can know what's going to happen in the next scene because you've seen it so many times. And if your friend were to come and watch the movie with you, they have never seen it. You've seen it so many times, you know exactly what's going to happen next. You can tell it to them. And they'll be like, wow, how did you know they were going to say that? Because you've seen it before. You've seen it many times. Well, that's the situation we got. He's already seen the situation. He knows exactly what's going to happen. So when he tells it to you, you can better believe it. That's exactly how it's going to happen. Now, you may not be able to see how to get from here to there. But I've often said that, look, that promise that God gives, even though it may be afar off, you know, it is your faith that will see that promise. When God gives the promise by faith, we see it afar off. But it is your believing through the process that will get you there. And so this process that the children of Israel were in, it was very hard for them to believe anything because all they saw was their situation got worse and worse and worse. But God had a plan to show his mighty hand in Egypt. And the Lord said, look, I am going to bring you out of there. And I will bring you into the land that I promised. So it came to pass, you know, that every time that the children of Israel, every time that Moses went before Pharaoh rejected and the people grumbled even more, you know. So the Lord, but the Lord at the same time kept saying to Moses that I'm going to bring you out. Yeah, you are going to bring us out, then bring us out already. You know, why must you allow our situation to get worse. Now consider if a family member was sick and the Lord said, look, I will restore health unto them and I will heal them of their wounds. And the Lord gives all these wonderful promises like, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and the Son of Righteousness will arise over you with healing in his wings because you have known my name and because you fear my name, and so on. And the Lord, you know, tells us, but situation doesn't seem to get any better. Day after day, week after week, I mean, things just seem to get worse. Now, the Lord said to us at the beginning of this month, you know, that, you know, on this seventh, I mean, said in the, I know, in the seventh month, on the first day of the same seventh month, then you shall blow the trumpet and declare, you know, the time of rest and the time of jubilee. It shall be rest unto you. You will do no sorrow work there. There'll be no burdens upon you. And so we come out here by the grace of God and declared this liberty to the children of God that we must have. And the Lord promised. But then, really, no sooner, you know, had we done that, than the enemy put many things upon many people and made their situation worse. But lo and behold, the Lord is going to stand by his word. Don't you ever forget it. Fast forward, and we're going to go through the details of this story, but fast forward, we see that the children of Israel actually did come out of that place. And indeed, by the time the Lord finished dealing with them, the children of Egypt, that is, I mean, Pharaoh and Egypt, they wanted to thrust out the children of Israel. They would do anything to get rid of them. So the Lord was setting them up to that point. The point where at the end, when the Lord told them, go and get and borrow things from your Egyptian neighbors. God already told this to Moses at the beginning, that they would rob the Egyptians finally. These people were able to just throw everything. What do you want? You want my vessels of gold? Take it and just get out of here. Because by this time, God has not only killed, you know, a lot of things, and he's now, you know, showed many plagues. Now he's put his hand out against their firstborn, lamentation everywhere, and ready to get rid of these people. Well, God showed us that, all of that, for a reason. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our admonition to you today is this. In the distress that you are in, situation may get worse before it gets better. One time Lazarus was sick. Situation was really bad. His sister sent to the Lord. Now, this was a family that Jesus had visited, and they were kind of, they thought they were close. Because the Bible said that what Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. And he has been with, you know, your home and so forth before. And so they're thinking in their heads, you know, well, the master will come. You know, once he heard that, you know, the man that he likes, you know, say, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. You know, and then Jesus made like he didn't even hear anything. You know, and if you read and digest that story, you can draw parallels to many of our situations. When we are in distress and we call out to the Lord and there seemed to be no answer, was it really because he turned a deaf ear? No, in this story, he never turned a deaf ear. He knew exactly what he was doing. And let me digress a little bit and go, you know, to that story, you know, that the Lord allowed us to see, just so we have strength. We can draw strength from some of the things that have happened in the past. In John chapter 11, you find that story. You know, now, when this Lazarus was sick, they sent to Jesus and said, you know, there was a certain man sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and had wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, Lord, behold, thou whom thou lovest is sick. So they're going to try to put Jesus, you know, in the corner here and say, look, your friend is sick. You know, so what should you do then? I mean, well, what were they expecting? They were expecting that Jesus would just come and heal him or even speak the word. I mean, we've seen situations where Jesus just spoke the word. He didn't actually need to go anywhere to do anything. He could have just at that moment spoken the word to those that came to him and said, go your way. Lazarus is healed. And that would have been the case. But in this, and he has done that before. But in this particular case, he chose not to do it. In fact, he chose not to respond. But on the other hand, he told the disciples that were with him, this sickness that you heard about is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so they're wondering in their mind, what does that all mean? Anyway, he didn't explain it. He left it. Now, Bible says he loved Lazarus, Martha, Mary, all of them, you know, and so forth. But when he heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, instead of him jumping up and doing something about it, giving a word or going there physically to encourage them or do something, he did nothing in that direction. He actually did the opposite. He abode in the same place 2 more days. You know, I mean, instead of moving quickly, it was a long, I mean, you know, it's a long travel. You know, for him to get to where he needed to go. And if he started out right away, maybe he would get there. But he didn't. He stood and abode more in the same place for 2 more days where he was. So then afterwards, after 2 more days, Jesus, knowing something that they didn't know, realizing now that Lazarus was now dead, the disciples at this time not knowing that, Jesus says unto them, you know, let us go into Judea again, you know, and so on. So he begins to tell them many things. And then one day he tells them, you know, or the next day he tells them, you know, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going now to wake him out of his sleep. And disciples said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, that's fine. What do we need to go wake him out of sleep for? Yeah, so Jesus had to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Wow. Now, if you were in that situation, what would you think? I mean, let's think about that for a minute. 2 or 3 days ago, he told you this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now he tells us Lazarus is dead. So the disciples by this time, they must be thoroughly confused. Didn't he say, they would say among themselves, because nobody dared to ask him anything. Didn't he say that this sickness is not unto death, they would say. I mean, now he's telling us that the man is dead. I mean, he said that, and look at now. You know, so that's the same situation with us dealing with the promises of God. When God says one thing, you know, in the positive direction, something negative happens, and it looks as if God is not even paying attention, you know. And then how do you reconcile the two things? How do you reconcile when the Lord said, you know, this is the beginning of months, and you shall have the, you know, a time of rest and a refreshing that is calling for? And then all of a sudden, you know, you opposite even happens, you know. How do you reconcile that? Well, how do you reconcile this in this case? You know, and then, so, they say, well, we don't know about this situation now. We'll see what will happen. But Jesus, furthermore, he knew the thoughts of their hearts. He told them, well, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Because if I was there, probably would have healed him at the time. Or the, you know, the compassion that he would have for the people would have made him to quickly healed the man before he died. So because of him being removed, it was a little bit, you know, easier for him to just not look at that situation. But for it wasn't easy for the people. I'll tell you why I said that, because the Bible said that Jesus wept when he came there finally. Jesus wasn't weeping because of Lazarus dead. He knew what he was going to do. And Jesus was actually weeping because the people were weeping. You know, it was painful for him to see all their pain. He tried to separate himself, distance himself for a bit in the natural, you know, so that you didn't even, you know, have to deal with it. I already knew what he was going to do a couple of days later, but right now, just stay away for a bit. But if he had been there, it would have been tougher, because when he got there, it was tough for him. And he had to cry when he saw all the people crying, you know, and all that. But, you know, he told them, look, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, to the intent that you may believe. And nevertheless, let's go to him. You know, so, well, you know, they eventually went there, and you know the rest of the story. But the lesson I want to bring out here is that he got worse before he got better. Lazarus was sick. He got worse. Sisters were believing that Jesus would come. They thought they had a direct line to him. He was a close friend, and they reached out to him, but he didn't show up. And he allowed their brother to die. And the man died. And then they buried him. Many days passed, actually. By the time Jesus finally got there, 4 days had passed since they had buried the man. It had been like maybe 6 days ago or more that they reached out to Jesus. And then finally he showed up after they buried the guy, and the guy's already 4 days in the grave. And now you show up. You know, Martha said, now you show up. If you had been here and you had come when we called upon you, my brother would not have died. You know, but now he's in the grave. He's been in the grave 4 days already. By now he stinketh. You know, and well, as soon as she was saying that, she said, well, in any case, well, you know, I know if you ask God anything, he would do it. But she's not actually thinking that Lazarus would come out of there. Maybe the Lord will comfort them and so forth. You know, maybe, you know, that's probably at best what she's thinking. You know, because later on in the conversation that ensued, she wasn't tracking and engaging with Jesus. You know, everything that Jesus was saying, she was stuck on her own belief system. And Jesus would say things like, look, if you can only believe, your brother will rise again. And she would respond and say, yeah, I know my brother will rise in the resurrection at the last day. So she's not tracking what Jesus is saying for the present situation. She's stuck in her belief system that, well, once you die, you're dead until the resurrection. And so no matter what Jesus said at this moment, it's like, well, yeah, of course, my brother will rise again. I mean, Jesus himself said it. I will raise him up at the last day. I will lose none of them. All that the Father has given me. I mean, she remembered that Jesus said all these things. So, yeah, I know he's coming out of there. But Jesus was talking beyond the last day. He's talking about right now. Your brother is going to come out of that grave. It was hard for her to even comprehend that or even conceive it in her mind. You know, so Jesus talked to her some more. He said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, all that resurrection stuff in the last day, it's wrapped in me right now, right here. I can make it happen now. And look, you know, he said, look, if you are dead, this is the one you're talking about. Those who die, they'll come out in the last day. Yeah. And those who are living, I can keep them alive. And if I choose, I can bring this guy out. And he's trying to tell her something, but she's not tracking. So Jesus said, do you believe this right now for this moment? I know you believe in the resurrection that your brother will come out of there. But do you believe for this moment that I, right here, standing here, am the resurrection and the life? Well, she really didn't grab it. She said, yeah, I know you are the Christ, the Son of God that should come into this world. She totally could not get the fact that Jesus could reverse that situation right now. She's stuck in a loop. No matter what Jesus said, she didn't get it. But at the end of the day, the Lord showed the whole everybody that he could call somebody out of the grave, even though they'd been there for 4 days. By this time, the disciples are completely in awe. My goodness, we've seen everything. We've never seen this one. And that was what Jesus wanted them to see. Hallelujah. And but unfortunately, when the Lord is working something out, there are some pain points to people. The people that were suffering while Jesus was working out his plan to show his disciples that he had power to call someone out of the grave for 4 days. I mean, after 4 days, some people were suffering in the meantime. You know, they had to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and bury their brother, spend a lot of brass money to purchase the sepulcher and all these things and do all these things and go through all that sorrow. You know, so sometimes when God's working something out, unfortunately, you know, we might be suffering, you know, some side effects of what God is working out. It's kind of like the story in John chapter 9. The man who was born blind for 40 years. Jesus said, well, it wasn't because of his parents' sins or his mother's or himself, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, the Lord is trying to show the works of God in this man for 40 years, and this man has to suffer this stuff. Show it already in the first year. Show it already in the second year, you know, and all that, you know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, when the Lord does certain things, there are certain things that we go through and we may, you know, bear the brunt of what's going on. But at the end of the day, his will be done. Praise God. And so Lazarus came out of the grave. And so did the children of Israel come out of Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, this lesson today is about us coming out of that Egypt that we may be in now, so that we may serve the Lord. The purpose was not just, you know, get out of there, but get out of hard bondage so that you can serve the Lord. The time of rest is when you can serve the Lord even more. Because when you are pulled on every side, when you are buffeted on every side, when you are, you know, stretched this way and that way, you have to run to the hospital, you have to run to this, you have to run to that, you're not going to have time. You know, and the Lord sees it. And that's the devil's plan, is to make sure you don't have time. He'll give you all these problems. And the Lord sees this too. So he will bring you out of that, put you in a place of rest, that you may serve the Lord. That's the purpose. So, but let's have faith and let's believe God. You're not the first person that God promised something and then it got worse. We've seen it now in the stories. So, your situation that may seem like it got worse, even when the Lord said he's going to bring you relief, the Lord is going to fix it. Eventually, he will too. But my prayer and my position, and I stood in prayer and prayed about this for some days, I said, Lord, you know, make no tarrying, oh my God, you know, because, you know, it's hard on the people, you know, and so forth. You know, just come through for your people. You know, I don't, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know how these things go, and I know it's the way it's going to end, what God already said. But in the meantime, you know, it may be very hard on the people. So, Lord, you know, cut it short in righteousness. Hallelujah. Make a quick short walk and bring your people out with a strong hand and put them in a place of rest and let them serve the Lord. And Lord said, well, you go tell them. Praise God. So I'm here telling you, just like Moses was telling the people. Praise God. And I got to tell Pharaoh, and I got to also tell you. And I already told Pharaoh, and I will keep telling Pharaoh and the Assyrian. The Lord said, I will break the Assyrian in my land. And I'm going to speak to that Assyrian in your life today, that he must let go. He must let go. Let my people go, saith the Lord, that they may serve me. Glory to God. So I'm going to pray over the room now, and I'm praying over your situation. The Lord has spoken in the heavens, you know, and the Lord has spoken to us as well. I pray that you will hear the word of the Lord and respond with faith. Because when the word was spoken, and it was not mingled with faith in the ones that heard it before, the Bible said it prospered nothing for them. So when the word of God comes, you must allow it to mingle with faith in your heart. I will break the Assyrian, saith the Lord, in my land. I'm going to continue to tell you that throughout this series. It's something that the Lord has said he's going to do, and he is going to do it. Now, no matter how the Assyrian fortifies himself against you and tells his, Pharaoh was one kind of oppressor, the Assyrian. Egypt was an oppressor. Assyria was an oppressor. Many of these kingdoms were oppressors, but same spirit. So whether it's Pharaoh or Assyrian, the Lord said, I will break him. Ha! Glory to God. So, surely as I have thought, even so shall it come to pass. Even as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Isaiah 14 and verse 24, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. And upon my mountain will I tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burdens shall depart from off their shoulders. Now this is a purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed it, and who shall disannul it? And the hand of the Lord is stretched out, and who is strong enough to turn it back? Now, ladies and gentlemen, look unto the Lord, and be ye saved. Behold, thy God cometh, thy salvation cometh. The Lord is coming with his salvation. He will hear you, he will save, and he will rejoice over you with joy. Father, we are your people. We are the people of your pasture, sheep of your hand, Lord. I pray for the grace for everyone that their heads may be lifted up. Whosoever has their head bowed because of burdens and excess burdens that the devil placed upon us. And let those burdens, by the grace and power of God, be lifted. Let the break our anointing come and break the Assyrian, the Lord said, in the name of Jesus. And bring relief, Lord, to your people. A time of refreshing and a time of rest that we may serve the Lord. A time of rest, Lord, for your people. A time of rest for your people. Give encouragement, Lord, that we will believe the word of God. Jesus has said, you're coming into a place of rest. You're going out to the other side. And then all the storms and all hell break loose against the boat. But remember, Jesus is in the boat with you. That boat will not sink as long as the Lord is there. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We're going to ride out this storm. And it's going to get better. Not many days hence, things will begin to roll back. God will begin to cause an east wind and blow back. We're going to see that in some of these stories in the land of Egypt. The Lord will begin to blow back all the sea billows and different things by a strong wind, by the hand of the Lord, will roll it back. The things that are trying to roll over you, God will roll them backwards in Jesus' name. You shall have the ability trust the Lord through the process. The Lord give you the grace to trust him. Not the situation, not what's going on, not any man. Trust the Lord. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Even they that put their trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. It cannot be removed, but standeth forever. Praise the Lord. And God bless everyone here. Thank you for listening. I pray it is well with you. It is well with everyone. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.